Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome into the show from PNC Park as the Pirates are getting set to take on the Washington Nationals here in a little bit, wrapping up this four-game weekend set. And, Ben, first of all, good to see you. And wanted to check in with you on how it's going with the Pirates overall. I was thinking about it today that the minor league seasons, I think the lower minors end next week. Upper minors got a couple weeks left. The big league, 3 weeks left in the regular season now, so it kind of approached me. All right, well, how do you see it as we're wrapping up for 2024 here? What do you see the state of the entire organization right now?
Yeah, good to see you too, Joe. And, you know, we're starting off with a big question here, so this is good. We'll get right into it. You know, I think we're improving, and also, you know, we're not improving by enough yet and not fast enough. You know, I think all of that is true. We're getting better. We see that in how players are coming onto the major league team and how that sets us up. But at some point, at the same time, you know, what is it, Bill Parcells? You are who you are, and you got to be honest about that. And what it's telling us is that we need to improve more, and we need to make that improvement faster all the time. I think in terms of the player talent, you know, I think that's what you're asking about. We've graduated a lot of players from the minor leagues to the major leagues in the last 2 years. A lot of players who are now on the team, contributing, getting better. Some who have already moved into pretty prominent roles. Some are still trying to earn that. Some are back in AAA, you know, again, trying to, you know, fix some things. And then we've got another group that's in AAA right now, and that team in AAA has been playing really good baseball the last month or so. And, you know, I think in terms of the position player group, it's the deepest we've been at the highest levels, certainly since I've been with the Pirates. Now, not all of those players have fully developed into contributing major league players yet. There's guys who are still working through things. But just in terms of the overall depth of position player talent, I do think it's the deepest we've had since I've been with the Pirates. And then, of course, a lot gets made about the starting pitching and the guys that are here already contributing. And that, you know, that creates a really, you know, a foundation for us going forward. But on top of that, we've got, you know, guys like Johan Oviedo coming back from TJ next year. We've got Michael Burrows, who's not rehabbing. He's pitching like a normal pitcher in AAA and certainly goes into 2025 more on a normal pitcher schedule. You know, guy like Braxton Ashcraft, who's on the IL right now, but as we go into 2025, certainly expect him to be in the mix. And then guys who are pitching actively in AAA, like Bubba Chandler and Thomas Harrington, who are putting themselves in the picture as we go into 2025. Hunter Barco also banged up a little bit right now, but another guy that has put himself, you know, sort of on the map for 2025. So, you know, we believe that entire group, on top of the guys that are, you know, already pitching in starting roles here in Pittsburgh, creates a strong foundation in that area. I think beyond that, you know, we're excited about a lot of the guys we have at the lower levels. With, you know, we're excited about the draft class from this year. We're excited about a bunch of teenagers that are in Bradenton doing good things. We're excited about how well Greensboro has played all year long. We got, you know, Tamar Johnson getting to AA recently, had a really good night last night. He's getting the opportunity to get that feedback, feedback about AA pitching before he goes into the offseason. So I think there's really a lot of good things going on and that signal improvement. At the same time, you know, we obviously need to get better, and we need to make that happen even faster, and that's where all our focus lies.
And I think it'll be good, too. We might check in on a few of the different players, either with the Pirates or down in the minor leagues, who have either touched the major leagues at some point, or are some of the more notable guys, and kind of get your evaluations on them individually. One guy's here now. Today, Billy Cook is going to be added to the roster. And I wanted to find out about him. I was going to ask you about him anyway today because of the trade at the deadline to acquire him. And now he's up. Why did you like to acquire him? And why do you like him to be up right now?
Yeah. So this is we traded for Billy back at the deadline. This was a deal where we sent Patrick Riley to the Orioles for Billy Cook. And worth noting with Riley, just for a second, just a credit to our scouting and pitching development groups to identify a pitcher, day two of the draft, a kid who hadn't, performed, at the highest, performed at a real high level in college. But we saw some traits did the work on, and to get him on day two, bring him into the organization, really solid, first half full pro season, and to be able to, and we like Patrick Riley, but to be able to acquire a player in Billy Cook that we felt was even closer to the major leagues is a credit to our scouting and pitching groups on Patrick Riley. So, but to your question about Billy. We identified him as someone who had we've always liked the defense. He can play all three outfield spots, including center field, at an above average level, we believe. He's in there at first base today, so really, really versatile player. He's an athlete. He's a baseball player. He can run a little bit. He's got some power. We saw improvement this year in the swing decisions, cutting strikeouts down a little bit as he went from Double A and then up to Triple A. He's just a player who seems to be coming into his game and improving. Also, we had this, sort of anecdotally before we got him, and certainly been affirmed since. He's just a baseball player, like really, really smart, heady, hardworking baseball player. Got a really good way about him, and so we're excited that he'll get an opportunity here to get a little exposure to major leagues. We've talked about this in the past. We really think it's valuable for players to come up, get some exposure to major league pitching, and then have that information going into an off season, maybe before the year that they would have a better chance to be, kind of in the mix for more of a regular job, and to have that feedback before an off season where they can go and use the off season to really work on some things. So, but we think Billy's here first and foremost because we believe he can help us win right now, and we're excited to see him make his debut out there today.
Pirates make one other move this week, acquiring Joey Wentz, a left-handed pitcher. We just saw him once so far, but why did the Pirates like to get Wentz from Detroit?
Well, we're always on the lookout for, it tends to often happen with relievers, the guys that come off of other rosters sometimes get in that DFA waiver shuttle. We're always looking out for guys who we believe have traits that can allow them to be effective major league relievers, and maybe it just hasn't happened quite yet, especially if we can see something that might be a way forward, some change that might be a way forward that we think we can tap into. In Wentz's case, he's been an effective pitcher against left-hand hitters, even with the Tigers. He's got a pedigree. He was a first, high pick with the Braves, starter coming up through the system, left-hander with the velocity. He's moved into a bullpen role. He's had success against left-hand hitters. We see some things that we may be able to do with him that might help him even a little bit more against lefties, but also maybe to neutralize those righties a little bit. So that all takes some time. It doesn't happen in one outing or one bullpen session, but this is someone that our group is excited to get a chance to work with, and we'll have some time to do that here in September.
Yeah, and the Pirates have had some success with some guys that had been designated for assignment. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later on the show, too, along with Pirates General Manager Ben Cherington here for PNC Park. And more to come right after this here on the Pirates Radio Network. We're back on the Ben Cherington Show from PNC Park. The Pirates are going to take on the Nationals here in a little bit. And Jared Jones is going to start for the Pirates today. And, Ben, I wanted to get your thoughts. He's still got a few more starts to go. But overall this season, really came on so brightly in spring training, has pitched the whole season, shy for the injury, but the Pirates this season. But what have you thought about Jared Jones's rookie season with the Pirates?
Well, it's been really encouraging. It's been successful without question. He's certainly competed in the way that we thought he would, right? This is somebody in the minor leagues, you know, one thing you always heard, and he loves to be on the mound. He loves to be staring down a hitter and trying to get him out. That's a nice quality for a starting pitcher. So we've certainly seen that. And obviously we've seen really good stuff. We've seen some games where he's just been dominant, and we've seen some games where he's had to grind a little bit, and that's normal, right, for a young starting pitcher. I think what he takes out of this season, and we're not done yet. He's got important starts left. What he'll take, I think, is a couple things. One is just respect for the length of the season, length of a major league season, and the work and the consistency of the work required to, you know, give yourself a chance to make the starts, to be out there, and he's so focused on that. He wants to be one of those guys that we're really relying on. He certainly has the talent and the aptitude and the competitiveness to be that guy. And then I think he'll just continue to learn about where he can go, maybe against certain hitters when maybe he doesn't have, you know, his A-plus stuff on a night. When he's cooking and, you know, the fastball is 99 with elite ride and he's got the, you know, plus-plus slider and, you know, he can get anybody out, right? Like, it's we've seen that. I think nobody's going to have no starting pitcher has their A-plus stuff for 32 starts. You know, it just doesn't happen that way. And there are days where you have to figure out how to navigate and win a game without that. And that's just those are things that he'll learn, pick up and learn over time. And he is already learning inside of the season. We see those adjustments even this season.
Yeah, he hasn't had a lot of those blow-up innings or starts that especially a lot of young pitchers have. He's been pretty consistent throughout his first year. I wanted to check in about Jared Triolo, too, because he's had several different iterations of himself throughout this season, coming in as the starting second baseman, relegated more to a bench role as the year had gone on. And now with the absence of Key Brian Hayes, has come back in essence, as the de facto third baseman and the starter. So what have you seen from him defensively, offensively so far in his first full major league season?
Yeah, I really think this year is going to end up helping Tree in so much, and ultimately he will help us in so much through the experience. He's really gotten to experience what being offensively challenged offensively looks like at the major league level. You know, when he's in, and think about all that he's done this year, you know, all the positions he's been asked to play, the things he's been asked to do on the field, it is all evidence of something we already knew, which is that he really is a baseball player. He's got aptitude, he's got instincts in different parts of the game. I feel like when Jared Triolo is in the baseball game, he is finding some way to help the team. Feel that way when he's in the lineup. And we've seen that at third base. We saw it at second base. We've seen him at short. We've seen him in the outfield. We see it on the bases. You know, he can do a lot. He can do different things to help a team. Offensively, you know, what we're seeing is some of it is that he has had some bad luck. He's hit into defenders and, you know, some of the in-play stuff that sometimes evens out over time has been a little bit on the unlucky side for him this year. But we did see for a good chunk of the year that just the contact quality wasn't what it had been late last year when he was up in the big leagues last year. He's made an adjustment more recently after the deadline. He's made an adjustment in his setup. He's getting to a little bit better contact quality. His numbers have picked up here since the deadline. So I think we're seeing more of what Jared Triolo can be as a hitter. But as I said, kind of for the whole team, I think this experience for Jared is really important for him going into an offseason. He's gonna now know clearly, okay, that's what a full season, major league season's like, and this is what I need to do to go prepare for another one.
I wanted to check in, too, about Nick Gonzalez, because Gonzalez started the year in the minor leagues, has ended up becoming the second baseman for the club, and really kind of got off to a hot start, and then the injury, and then is back at him again, and has been hitting well since he's come back off the IL. So, you know, your thoughts on Nick Gonzalez's first year, most of a first year, a full year in the major leagues.
Yeah, some parallels to Tree, honestly, just in the sense that they're both finding a way to contribute when they're in the lineup in a major league game. And they are also both getting experience and feedback that we believe will make them even better going forward. In Nick's case, we've talked about the adjustment he's made with his swing just to get to more contact. That happened end of last year through the offseason, through spring training, and he was in AAA working on it. We've seen that play out. You know, the numbers aren't, you know, jumping off the page yet at you, but we're certainly seeing a more consistent at bat, more of a threat than we were at this time last year. So he's made that adjustment. He's improved, but he's not done. He's, you know, he's going to keep getting better. He's going to keep figuring out how his swing works for him against certain pitchers. You know, the common thread there between Nick and Tree is they're both just highly accountable, smart baseball players who grind, who work, you know, who want to do the work to be good, who want to be part of the team. They're guys you feel good when you see them in the clubhouse, feel good when you see them in the lineup. They're going to find some way to help you.
I wanted to follow up on Gonzalez and his defense versus, say, last year to this year. Do you feel like it's improved?
Without question. He's become a, not just a reliable defender at second base, but above average in our internal metrics. So that's been a real change, you know, a real improvement for the better, again, through hard work. It's just as simple as that, hard work. He's put himself in that position.
And I'm talking about some of the young Pirates. Jared Jones is going to start for the Pirates today against Washington's Patrick Corbin. Game 4 of this series coming up in just a bit. More on the Ben Charrington Show right after this here on the Pirates Radio Network. Back with you on the Ben Charrington Show from PNC Park. The Pirates and the Nationals coming up in just a little bit. And a little bit earlier, we were alluding to how when the Pirates acquire players, sometimes it's a player has been designated for assignment by another team. And in essence, you can either engineer a trade, which seems at the time like a minor trade, or you can claim a player. And in two cases this year, and maybe I'm excluding somebody, so forgive me and correct me if you can add on, but it just stuck out to me that Dennis Santana has meant so much to the Pirates this year. His success out of the bullpen, a waiver claim from the Yankees, and of course Joey Bart, who in the first week of the season, the Giants made him available, the Pirates engineered to trade to bring him in. And really, players that have had an impact can be picked up in the middle of a season, really, for next to nothing. And so can you tell us about how that takes place, what the Pirates are doing, and in those two cases, what took place in scouting those players to bring them in?
Yeah, well, we have a group of people that includes scouts, analysts, and people from our coaching groups on the pitching side and the hitting side who are working together all the time to identify traits in those players that we think can translate to major league success. So as soon as we're obviously, you know, looking at all the players all the time externally, but as soon as a player gets DFA'd, certainly it triggers a process that our group would then focus on. Okay, we're going to dig into this, see what's under the hood, what are the skills here, what are the deficiencies, are these things we think we can help, or maybe it just a different opportunity might help, or maybe we think a pitcher should be using a certain pitch more or less, et cetera, or maybe there's a skill change, something we think we can do. So it goes through that car wash, so to speak. You know, we do as much due diligence as we can in a short amount of time on character and work ethic and all that stuff. And then we just try to make a call. And sometimes in DFA case, sometimes those players, before July 31st anyway, sometimes those players don't get to waivers and you have to trade for them. Which was the case with Joey Bart earlier in the year. Sometimes they do get to waivers and you're just putting in a claim. But it's that combination of scouting, analyst, and coaching insight that comes together, because it's not just, you know, what is the player doing now, but can we help this player be better? And that's why you really need to have the coaching insight on the other end of it. Santana and Bart are good examples of two guys who we saw traits, underlying traits, skills that we thought had a chance to translate to better performance if it came along with consistent opportunity and maybe some other changes. And those two have worked out well. They don't all work out. Obviously, we've, you know, claimed players or traded players that were DFA'd in the past that have not turned into contributors like Santana and Bart, so they're not all going to work out. But it is an opportunity for us to add talent to the organization. It's an important one for a team like the Pirates, because we've got to be you know, we got to be looking everywhere for talent, and there are some other avenues that are more challenging for us, so we need to be good in that one.
Well, you figure that it's more of a lottery ticket. It costs you almost nothing typically, right? So why
It's a lottery ticket. We try to be disciplined not to think about it that way, though, because if it's true, I mean, sometimes if you're out of pitching and there's a guy on waivers and you need two innings tomorrow, and sometimes it's, you know, you're just filling a need. Sometimes that's true. In most cases, though, we're really trying to only acquire a player if we see a specific way forward for that player. There's something there that we think we can help that guy do better or differently that's going to translate. And so we really try to stay to that process with that kind of player.
Now, good insight regarding some of the Pirates' acquisitions as they go along through a season. Wanted to check in, too, with you on Key Brian Hayes, who is on the injured list. We've got 3 weeks left in the season. Do you foresee him returning at all this year?
You know, I think we're taking it a day at a time. Okay. What we're really encouraged by is how he's feeling. You know, we got more information about the back. We had another round of consults with the best doctors we can find, including our own, and you know, we really think we got some good clarity on where things are, and most importantly, he got good clarity. Like, he feels he got good clarity, and I'd say the thing that changed maybe is that, you know, we got to a more specific, explicit set of exercises and training that, you know, in combination, and he felt okay. We really dig into this, we really lean into this, that this has got a chance to really help him feel better, and he felt like this has got a chance to really help me feel better. So he's been doing that, and they're not easy. You know, no offense, Joe, if you and I tried to do them right now, I'm not sure we would be able to. It's hard work, and he's been doing that work, and he's feeling better. And so we really want to make sure that continues. Because we know what Cabrian's capable of doing when he's feeling at his best, and that athlete comes out, both on the defensive side and the offensive side. I think we all saw this year that wasn't happening. He's frustrated because he's not able to bring those skills out on the field because his back's been bothering him. And so we really want to make sure that whether it's later this September or whether it's the offseason or whether it's next spring training, that when he's on the field, he feels free to do all the athletic things that he's capable of doing. So that's where our focus is right now. We feel good in the sense that I think we're on a very specific track, and we've got clarity, more clarity about, you know, what it is and what he can do about it, and he's doing that work. We don't want to short-circuit that work, so day at a time.
Yeah, so for him, just to make sure I'm clear too, there's a newer or a different kind of workout, so to speak, that can maybe benefit him long term with managing the back, because it never goes away. It's not entirely new.
It's a more specific and focused routine that I think he has really good clarity on. And as you said, yes,
because you want him to be good for years to come. You got a mutual interest in that.
Absolutely, and we know he can be. And yes, as you said, you know, I'm an old non-athlete, right? But like we all know what it feels like to when your back isn't feeling good, and how limiting that is for a baseball player. Obviously, much more important. And baseball players, position players in particular, if you did an MRI on every major league position player, you're going to find stuff in the back with most of them. I mean, they play a violent rotational sport. It's just going to happen. In some cases, these things can lead to symptoms, and then the question is, okay, what do we do about that? That's what we've been trying to work through with Cabrian, is so that he can get out there and be the athlete that he always has been, do the things on the field that he's capable of doing. So we think this is going in the right direction. We're not going to short-circuit it, though.
Yeah, that's very encouraging news regarding Key Brian Hayes as we check in with Ben Cherington every Sunday. We'll have more with Ben right after this here on the Pirates Radio Network. And Ben, wanted to check in on some of the players that have been working in the minor league system. How about Andy Rodriguez as he recovers from off-season Tommy John surgery?
Well, he's been here this weekend in Pittsburgh. It's always good to see him. He's always got such good energy. He's dominated his rehab. He looks really good physically. He's going to start playing for Altoona on Tuesday. And, you know, he's been playing in games in Florida, been playing at first base in DH. We believe catching will be part of the program very soon. But it'll be fun to see him in a Curve uniform coming this week.
So they've got a week left, and then I would presume, what, another week in Indianapolis after that, maybe?
We've got that opportunity in Indianapolis. If that ends up making sense, again, we'll just continue to take it a step at a time. But, you know, he's in a good spot, and it's time for him to get some at-bats against some upper-level pitching.
Well, that's great that he can return this season and get at least a little bit of work in. And with Billy Cook being up today, another player that was acquired at the deadline was Nick York, and he's got great numbers at AAA. He's 22 years old. But I was also curious, he's playing a lot of different positions.
Yep.
And, you know, sometimes you want to find get the bat in the lineup. Is that some of the reason why you played him around?
A little bit. I mean, yeah. Look, like, you know, we're always thinking about, you know, in a normal part of the year, obviously we got 28 players right now, but most of the year it's 26, and most of the time it means you have 13 position players and 12, and two of those are going to be catchers. So you really think about 11 position players, 11 non-catcher position players usually on the team. It's no secret. We want to score more runs and improve offense. We got to find the best combination of 11 players that we possibly can. And sometimes it means to help us do that, it might help for a player to play a different position because there's only so many of them to go around. So yeah, it's a little bit of that, exploring different positions. He's pretty versatile anyway. Before we got him, he's been in the infield, he's been in the outfield. We've been trying to expose him to some spots. Maybe he hasn't got quite as much time in the past, including shortstop. So we'll see where that goes. He's been, you know, it's been terrific to be around since he's been a Pirate in AAA. He's really fit into that team well. He and Billy Cook have been, you know, sort of big catalyst behind that team playing well the last month or so. He's been in the middle of a lot of it. We believe in the hitter. We believe there's a good hitter there. We believe he's certainly capable of playing in a number of places on the field. We're trying to figure out which is best, or maybe which combination is best.
Wanted to check in, too, on Tamar Johnson. Anytime you get a first-round pick, always want to keep tabs on him. So he'll be wrapping up his season at Altoona here in the next week.
Yep, he's going to be wrapping up in Altoona, and then, you know, anticipation that, you know, maybe there'll be some more playing time somewhere in the fall for him. But he's getting a chance. He had a real nice night last night. We felt like getting a little bit of exposure to Double A, just seeing that level of pitching before he goes into the offseason. Again, just help him go into the offseason with an understanding of, you know, more than likely probably starts next year back at that level, just to have a little bit more understanding of what he's facing before we get into 2025.
And with about a minute to go, Leover Peguero, we haven't seen him in the major leagues this year, but has been up here, and he's still only 23 years old. What is he doing at AAA? Give us a synopsis on his season.
I think this is one of those scenarios where a player can, you know, really be better than they were 12 months ago, even though major league opportunity has been less. Obviously, Peggy was up for a little bit last year and did some good things, and that opportunity hasn't come at the major league level this year. That said, we see a better player than we did 12 months ago, a more consistent defensive player. He's been playing really regularly at shortstop and doing a good job there. We've seen the at-bats get better as the season has gone on, hitting for power. As you said, 23 years old. He has tools. You know, this is not a player that whose story has been finished, so to speak. So we feel really good about the year he's had developmentally, even though it has not come with as much major league opportunity as it did last year.
Well, that's a good insight as always, Ben, and thanks for some time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Joe.
All right, that's Pirates General Manager Ben Cherington. And coming up next, we're going to have baseball for you, the final game of this four-game series, the Pirates and the Nationals. Pirates have an opportunity for a series split against the Nats. It will be Jared Jones, the rookie right-hander, going for the Pirates. The left-hander, Patrick Gorbin, going for the Nationals. And we'll have the pregame show coming up for you next, right here on the Pirates Radio Network.